Today's scripture is from Isaiah 40:3-11, and I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. A voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry? All people are grass. Their consistency is like the flower of the field. The grass withers. The flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers. The flower fades. But the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up into our high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep."
Amen to that scripture. What a beautiful picture there is of our God and his dealings and interactions with us. I don't know about you, but whenever I stepped in here on Tuesday, I was pretty excited with the transformation of the sanctuary. And let us celebrate, we have real fire. We are celebrating that as well in the Advent wreath. You should have seen us. It could have been an episode on HDTV. Us going to Michael's and World Market to get the implements for the Advent wreath and candles. It was just kind of a comedy for us coming to it, but we made decisions, and we're excited to be able to have that. Well, as you can tell, and as it's been brought up, we're in the Advent season. It's here. December 1st is today. Can you believe it? We have one more month of 2019. Can you believe it? Wow. I know what I was doing on January 1st. How did it get there? And time is like that, isn't it? It just, man, oh man, it goes by so quick. And yet here we are. Let's finish well. Finish well in a year. And I think part of finishing well can be woven into the Advent season and the Advent message. You know, Advent ultimately is a season that asks us questions. Advent asks us pointed and appropriate questions. Bigger questions that we are privileged to be asked. You know, it's one thing to be asked kind of questions that don't challenge you. It's another thing to be asked questions that do challenge you, that help you look on the inside in a deeper way, beyond the questions of what do I want to prepare my plate for Thanksgiving? Do I want turkey and hold off on the mashed potatoes, or based upon what I did earlier that day, I can go a little bit more liberal on the mashed potatoes and gravy? You know, those are those questions, but these are the deeper questions of Advent. Questions about time. The question of time. The question of our place within time. These are the questions that Advent asks. Questions that make us feel, dare I say, uncomfortable. I personally, speaking for myself, I need someone to ask me hard questions. Because it's usually the person willing to ask me hard questions that I end up journeying with and being alongside with for a longer time. Not just someone that's always agreeing with me, a yes person, so to speak, but someone that's willing to ask me the hard questions, not about just a life in general, but hard questions about myself. That's how I've grown and continue to grow, to surround my people that are with people that are willing to ask myself and to ask me hard questions about who I really am. Questions about the person beneath the one that I allow others to see. We have the people that we are now, that we're, you know, that we present to people, that we present to the world, but I think there's a part of us that's beneath this. When do we ever engage that? Do we ever let anyone engage that person that is beneath the one that we allow out and we approach the world with day in and day out? The questions of who are you? What are you doing, and where are you going? Who are you? Advent acts as a kind of sharing circle, if you will. I don't know if you're comfortable in those, or if you like to share about yourself, or maybe sharing circles make you really uncomfortable because you're kind of forced to let a part of you out and allow a part of you to be a topic of discussion or known to be known. Advent asks the question of anticipation, and it asks the question of what do we expect out of life? Advent is asking us a question, but it's also supplying us a response to that question. Part of that response is an anticipation about life. I was thinking about this word of anticipation and the answer of anticipation in the Advent season. And I couldn't help but think of a small burg in Ohio called Strasburg, Ohio. You see, Strasburg, Ohio would be a small town. It's a quaint little Midwestern town with two stoplights down Main Street. But Strasburg, Ohio has a very endearing, I guess, thought to me and to my experience of it. As long as I've driven down Strasburg, Ohio, probably 5 or 10 miles outside of the town that I grew up in, Strasburg is where Nichols Bakery is. And every time that I drive through Strasburg, Ohio, I've made it a practice to, whether I announce it or not, I roll down my window. Why would I do that in the middle of winter? Or maybe even if it's raining or on a hot summer day and I'm letting all of the cool air out of the car from the air conditioner. You see, in any season, what you do and what you kind of experience downtown Strasburg, Ohio, is the smell and the scent of fresh baking bread. And I love that smell. It's home and hearth, you know, like right there. It's in the atmosphere of Strasburg. And I just love that. Yankee Candle has yet to reproduce this scent, and I've appealed them numerous times, and I just write Strasburg, Ohio, hoping they'll figure it out. No, not really. But it's just one of those sense of promise. It's saying something about something you don't see. You smell it. I know for a fact that is bread that I'm smelling, but I don't see it. But I do know it's the scent of hope, that tomorrow's bread is on its way. Newness is on its way. Fresh bread is being baked. This idea of newness, it's the scent of something new. Whenever we look at the Christmas story starts not with Christ, not even with Mary and Joseph, but the Christmas story starts with John. No, not John, our beloved John Wilkin. I'm sorry, John. John the Baptizer. Christmas starts with John the Baptizer. And he has an interesting role because he's this charismatic preacher. He's a popular figure, and he's preparing his audience for the Christ and the ministry of the Spirit of Christ. That's what he's this preparative figure that we see in the scripture. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version, just to mix it up a little bit, the Authorized Version. But I'm going to be reading out of Luke chapter 3, starting in verse 15, where the Christmas story starts with John and his message. And as the people were in expectation, that is, the audiences that were coming out to listen to and see John the Baptist, as the people were in expectation and all people mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, anticipation. They can smell the smell of bread baking in the air, so to speak. Is he the person? Is he the Christ? He's awfully charismatic. He's awfully holy. Is this the one that Israel is waiting for? John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So we have these elements that are being talked about. Water, fire, baptism, immersion. A change, something new is coming. Continuing to speak about this one that would baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people, talking about the ministry of Christ. The role of John was to prepare the people's spiritual conditions. He was there almost as an abrasive piece of sandpaper, so to speak. Have you ever had the task of gluing something or re-gluing maybe a precious moment that took a tumble? Especially whenever you're moving things around to set up for the Christmas season and one of your precious moments. Well, their integrity is challenged, so put it that way. And you have the pieces there, and you have all of these pieces to the ceramic, and you need to glue them back together. But whenever you read the instructions to the glue, it says, make sure you take an abrasive piece of paper and kind of make some abrasive marks on the edges of that ceramic so that the glue has something to stick to. Whenever I read those words of John, I say, those aren't very comforting words. Those are words that are a little bit abrasive. They kind of make me shift in my seat a little bit. They make me, cough because of what I'm hearing. What I'm hearing is almost an affront to my ego. And it's an affront to, maybe I need to self-check. Maybe I need to look inward a little bit deeper. But I think that's the very thing the Spirit wants us to do. Look inward and to tell the truth about yourself for once. I don't know about you, but I'm good at living in a dream. I can be pretty good at living in maybe a state of denial. Maybe about myself, maybe about a circumstance or a situation. Everything's fine. We're good. I'm good. But deep down, if I was honest about myself, would I say that? Would there be something that maybe needs corrected? Would there be something within me that maybe needs healed? If I was honest about myself, I would say yes. I need healed. There's something in me that's bent. It needs corrected. But I don't know what to do with it. So I just ignore it. The Advent season starts with John because he's courageous enough to not ignore it. To not just talk around it. He's direct, saying, prepare the way. There is something more. There is something greater that is coming, and it's on its way, and it's new. It's the ministry of the Spirit. And that ministry of the Spirit is so cunning. It is so much of the Spirit of God. It is able to transform you, not from the outside in, but it is able to transform from the inside out. That's how cunning the Spirit is, and you need to be ready for it. And you need to be ready to apprehend it, to not just witness it, but to participate in it. John's message is preparative. John's language is also a lot like the way that an impressionist artist would use his or her art. John used words that captured the imagination, that would draw people into his message, a message of repentance, a message of right living, a message of right living as a means to receive the Christ. You know, artists, they make art to access, to evoke, and to draw us closer to them in a way that is non-threatening. So if you're an artist, thank you. You're drawing people in to say something to people that may be hard to get around to saying. John was like this. He was an artist in words. He was an artist in his message. He was an artist in his person. John's message of yesterday is also a message for today about receiving the one that is called Christ. John's message was essentially radical in the most literal meaning of the word, meaning radical means to go down to the roots and to examine the roots of something that is growing. That's the heart of John's message. Because that is where the ministry of the Spirit ends up going, to the roots of your life and to the very heart of your life. I was drawing inspiration of this message, even the title of this message, from an Advent reading of Walter Brueggemann's. And he wrote a little prayer. But before that little prayer, he mentioned in this devotional about how dangerous this message really was. This wasn't a message that was well received and openly received by everyone. As a matter of fact, this was a message that was affronting and frightening to those that held a lot of power in this world. If you continue on in your reading, and I challenge you, there are 24 chapters in the Gospel of Luke. Read a chapter a day until the day before Christmas, because there's 24 days before Christmas Day. Read a chapter of Luke a day. Start that discipline this month. And if you continue to read in that, you'll see what happens to John for preaching this way. those in power, those who are overseeing the political powers and the religious powers of the world, they said, well, you need to stop talking because what you're saying is threatening to us and our means of controlling. Brueggemann writes this at the end of this devotional, and then he says a little prayer. I'm going to go ahead and read this, and may this prayer be our prompt, and may it be our query in our time of open worship. Brueggemann writes, it is no wonder that in the very next verses of Luke 3, King Herod arrested John, imprisoned him, and tried to silence him. For what John says was dangerous for business as usual. I like that. It's dangerous. What do you mean change? What do you mean something new? Things are just fine. Leave us alone. That's what Herod would say. For what John says was dangerous for business as usual. Herod and his company preferred to imagine that their established credentials were enough with Abraham as their father. And anyway, they did not want newness. So they tried to stop the dangerous newness before it ever intruded into their lives. What we know that Herod didn't know and never even suspected is that John's Advent invitation cannot be silenced or arrested. It continues to invite. And sometimes we let it in to come among us and to transform us. I'm going to go ahead and read this prayer, and we'll enter into open worship. Living God, visit us in this season with your Holy Spirit, that we may get carried away to do obedient things that we have not yet done, kingdom things that we did not think we had in us, neighbor things from which we cringe. May you act in us, through us, beyond us, more than we imagine, because newness is on its way among us. Amen. Let us enter a time of open worship.